Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 5:28 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed to lower. July corn futures unchanged at 452.5. July soybeans down one at 1181. July Chicago wheat down 3.5 at 599.25. July Kansas City wheat down 2 at 612.25. July spring wheat down 2.5 at 669.75. Let's start off with the weather.
Rain will return to the U.S. Corn Belt on Thursday and Friday this week. Coverage over the next 5 days will be greatest in Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, eastern South Dakota, and Nebraska. Eastern areas, including Indiana and Ohio, will be much drier by comparison. The five-day forecast also introduces rain to some parts of U.S. HRW wheat country, including central Kansas, Nebraska, and eastern Colorado. The 10-day forecast is wet for most of the central U.S. Corn and soybean planting is likely to be slowed in many areas.
Corn and soybean planting will definitely be slowed in a lot of areas. You look at this 10-day map and it's wet almost everywhere. So for a lot of you guys, whatever progress is not made today or maybe tomorrow may not be made for a while. And I'm not sure exactly. I mean, delay is a strong word because it gets people excited about markets and stuff. But there's going to be some minor delays here. There's going to be places where farmers would like to be planting and they won't be. So the question is, you know, this is a market show. Do the markets care about this? Will the market care about any potential delay? History says that it will take a while. This is a chart of December 2019 corn. And 2019 is a year that was associated with extreme planting delays. We're not anywhere near that right now. And I don't expect us to be anywhere near that. But in 2019, the new crop corn contracts did not bottom until May 13th. So if this were to turn into a situation where planting delays become extreme, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying that if history is an indicator, and if you were to run into an extreme planting delay situation, you still got another 3 weeks till the market really cares a whole lot about it, if history is any indicator. This year could be different. Maybe it happens. Maybe the market cares earlier. But in 2019, which is our most recent year associated with extremely late planting, the market didn't start to care until mid-May. And you saw a sharp rally ultimately, and it was a super odd year. We saw a big shift in acreage from March to June, and all the ideas changed. But that would be the take home for me, is that there's some delays. If they turn into major, major, major delays, you still might have 3 weeks till the market really cares, if history is any indicator. No guarantees there, guys.
Increased rainfall has improved transit through the Panama Canal. Last week, average daily vessel crossings reached 25, up from 21 in late January. Daily transits, however, are still well below the average of roughly 35 per day before the drought. According to the Canal Authority, by mid-May, daily transits will increase to 31, and by June, they should rise to 32. An uptick in vessel crossings will help alleviate global trade restrictions. The canal is expected to return to normal operations by the end of this year or early next year.
If they got back to 32, looking at this chart, that's like a normal-ish type level, which would be very, very positive. The Panama Canal situation, we haven't talked about in a while, but I think that it has absolutely had a big-time negative impact on corn and soybean shipments, especially to Asian destinations, and maybe China in particular. Maybe if we didn't have a drought and the Panama Canal was functioning at full capacity, maybe we'd be shipping more corn to China. Maybe China would have bought more corn, and maybe they will if this situation improves. This graphic I don't like because of the scale. This is only, they're talking a foot increase, 80 to 81, and they made it look like it's like this massive increase, and it won't be. But if they can get back up to normalish type traffic, I'd say that's a positive for export prospects, definitely.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
I had a grain marketing review yesterday, and in these videos, there's a grain marketing review anytime there's a new cash grain recommendation or a new target order placed, and I'll run through exactly what was advised, why it was advised, the logic, the thought process. I also talked a little bit yesterday about weather markets, ran some balance sheet examples, and explained why the U.S. growing season is so extremely important. When it comes to grain marketing, we include something like this at the bottom of the email, every single business day. This is a screen grab from this morning's email. This is old crop winter wheat, just as an example. But I track everything that I advise at the bottom of our email every single business day. It's broken down by crop year, by percentage. We do corn, soybeans, winter wheat. We're doing two or three crop years at a time, almost in every instance. And I'll tell you exactly what I did and the good, the bad, the ugly. When I make bad recommendations, if there's bad recommendations, I'll talk about why I regret the recommendations and what went wrong and what I could have done differently. But it's super transparent. So if you guys are sick of complicated stuff, if you're sick of overtrading futures and options, if you're sick of lack of transparency, what I offer here is full transparency in regard to everything. So if you want to see the premium stuff, guys, go to standardgrain.com this morning. If you sign up, I'll forward you a copy of this morning's email, which includes all the grain marketing stuff, in addition to our six most recent premium videos, tons of charts and graphics, weather information. It's a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Just a ton of information direct from us every single business day. And of course, this is the best way to support what we're doing here. Without the premium subs, there would be no YouTube. There would be no podcast. So give that deal a shot this morning, guys.
Ukrainian grain output is expected to decline. According to Ukraine's farm minister, heavy rainfall across the majority of the country has delayed spring planting by 20% compared to last year. Last month, the ministry forecasted Ukrainian grain production to decline by about 10% this year. Due to a reduction in planted wheat acres, Argus Media has reduced its forecast for Ukraine's wheat crop. The consultancy firm is projecting the crop at 19.9 million metric tons, down 11% compared to last year, and significantly lower than the five-year average of 25.9 million metric tons. Wheat acres have declined because many farmers have turned to more profitable crops, such as oilseeds. Also, Russia's invasion has caused Ukraine to lose control of some of its land.
I think this is part of the reason potentially that we've seen such strength in the wheat market as of late. Russia has some weather problems also. So we've seen some short covering. Large money managers estimated to have bought, I think, 15,000 contracts in net of SRW wheat over the last three trading sessions. The charts look quite a bit better. One of the other things we do in the premium email every single day is we have daily charts with support and resistance levels, all that stuff. And wheat looks a hell of a lot better on the charts as of this morning, at least. So I don't know. Maybe that's part of the reason.
Russia is planning to intensify its attacks on Ukraine in response to new U.S. military aid. The threat comes days after the U.S. House passed a foreign aid package that includes $61 billion for economic and military support for Ukraine. The U.S. will begin shipping battlefield and air defense support to Ukraine as soon as the Senate approves the bill and the president signs it into law. Ukraine's military resources and personnel have been depleted for months along the front lines, leaving the country vulnerable to a Russian advance. Since the beginning of the war, Russia has reiterated that Western-supplied weapons to Ukraine are valid targets.
To the delight of many of our elected officials, it appears as if this war will go on forever. And maybe this is part of, again, part of the reason that you've seen some short covering in the wheat market. Maybe they're concerned that there's going to be some escalation here. I know that there were some, I think, Russian strikes on Ukrainian ports over the weekend. You could see more of that.
The U.S. is considering sanctions against Chinese banks that are supporting Russia's military. Since the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war, China has complied with warnings from the West not to supply Russia with arms. Beijing, however, has been supplying Russia with dual-use goods such as plane parts and machines that can be used in a military setting. The shipments have helped Russia rebuild its military. U.S. sanctions would cut Chinese banks off from the global financial system if they are facilitating transactions for such goods. The sanctions would cause banks to lose access to the U.S. dollar and likely fail.
Trade tensions are a problem with China. We know that both Biden and Trump have talked about tariffs as of late. We had this chart recently. China has been the largest buyer of U.S. soybeans this year by a wide margin. But they have nothing on the books, zero for new crop, which is unprecedented-ish. They had very light amounts on the books 4 and 5 years ago, and that was a time associated with the trade war. Right now, China has nothing, zero new crop soybeans on the books, which is, I don't think it's a concern yet, but if you don't start to see that stuff start to show up during the next, say, 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be a little bit more concerning for me, at least. What did cattle do yesterday?
They were mixed yesterday. Feeders were 70 cents higher to $1.10 higher. Live cattle were down 90 cents to $1.12 higher. Box beef closed higher yesterday. Choice gained $1.47 to close at $2.97.40. Select gained 89 cents to close at $2.92.76.
Outside markets fairly quiet. U.S. dollars up just a little bit. Stocks are mixed. Bonds off a little bit. Crude oil is up, or I'm sorry, down 49 cents in the June WTI at 82.87. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Thursday.